Fastball lined up the gap into right center field. That's a base hit around second base, and the ball squirts through center fielder Andres Torres. Mathis around third. He scores. Heading for third in there with a stand-up triple, Kelly Johnson. The Blue Jays in flight, leading the Mets 1-0.
Kelly Johnson with what was officially scored a double and an error on Andres Torres. Yunel Escobar followed on the next pitch with a line single to right field. Johnson scored from third. The Blue Jays had a 2-0 lead, and that was all they would get, but it was more than they would need. Brandon Morrow was that good, going the route on a three-hitter for his second complete game. Well, shutout has to be a complete game for a starting pitcher, so never mind. His second shutout of the season, his second three-hit shutout of the season, and his second one in his last four starts. And in fact, Brandon Morrow, you know, going into today, we had thought he gave up one earned run in his last start against the Tampa Bay Rays, but the Rays appealed an error call on Adam Lind, had it changed to a hit, and all of a sudden five earned runs were added to Brandon Morrow's total. So let's throw out that start in Tampa Bay. In the four before that and today, Brandon Morrow has pitched 15, 27 and two-thirds, 36 and two-thirds innings, and has allowed two earned runs. This is a guy who in the last 2 years, each of the last 2 years, has taken 10 starts to get good. He was awful through his first 10 starts in 2010, and then the rest of the way, terrific. He was not very good in his first 10 starts last year. Very good the rest of the way to salvage a solid season. This year, we're 9 starts in, and 6 of them have been brilliant. In 6 of Brandon Morrow's 9 starts this season, he has combined to give up 2 earned runs. He's been flat out ridiculous. And today he was just awesome. Just awesome. He, from the Ronnie Cedeno ground single in the third inning, which was the first runner to reach base, he then retired 13 in a row before Lucas Duda doubled into the corner in right field in the seventh inning. And then he got 4 more after that. So Morrow starts the game by retiring 19 of the first 21, or 20 of the first 21 he faced. Just an awesome job. Goes the route, throws 107 pitches. When Alex Anthopoulos traded for him, he said Brandon Morrow's got ace written all over him. Just got to get him straight. Got to get the control under control. And boy, it is. This was sheer and unadulterated awesomeness from Brandon Morrow today. We are taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell and long distance 1-888-666-0590. Morrow did catch a huge break in this game, as one of the three hits he gave up should have been a double to right field by the Mets DH Mike Baxter in the top of the ninth inning. He slid safely into second base, but second base umpire Brian Knight, in a poor position to make a call, thought Yunel Escobar had tagged him. He didn't at all, and it's very plain to see that on the replay. So instead of second and third with one out in the ninth inning and the tying run in scoring position, it was a runner on third and two out. And the next hitter lined out to end it. And Yunel Escobar did a beautiful job of selling that call at second base. I mean, yes, this one worked in the Blue Jays' favor, but I remain in favor of robot umpires. That was just a terrible call at second base. Terrible, and it cost the Mets a chance to tie this game, have two shots at a base hit to tie the game. But the story's really Brandon Morrow. He was fantastic. And again, 6 starts this season out of his 9, he has combined to allow a total of 2 earned runs. Taking your phone calls, and let's get to it on the Blue Jays Talk. Kevin is in Sterling, Massachusetts, listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Kevin, how good is Brandon Morrow?
Oh, that was awesome. I mean, I can only listen to the game, you know, get the voice, but it was really, it just sounded like he was phenomenal.
Yeah, he was.
Just one quick question. In 162 games, you think everyone, both teams end up averaging out on poor calls? Because, I mean, that was, I didn't see it, obviously, but
what
you're saying is...
Yeah. It's terrible. No, I don't think teams wind up... I don't think bad calls wind up evening out. I know that's the popular thing to say.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that would be way too much of a coincidence if that happened. You know, maybe over the course of 10 years, bad calls might even out. And you might have a year where you catch a whole bunch of breaks. And you might have a year when you don't. And if you're the Red Sox or Yankees and you're always getting bad calls in your favor, it seems. But no, I don't think you can count on them evening out.
Mike, I was at the Fisher Cats. You know, I go to see New Hampshire team play. And, boy, they got some good young players coming up again. I don't know what they're going to do with all these young guys coming up through the system, but it's a good thing to have. But, you know, what are they going to do with it? You think Hutchinson's going to go down eventually?
Well, they got a decision to make when Dustin McGowan gets healthy.
Right.
But, you know, that's a long way off. He's still a good 5 or 6 weeks away, and who knows what could happen between now and then with him and with anybody else on the Major League staff. I think they would love to have Hutchinson be here to stay, but I think also, you know, how rare is it to have a 21-year-old, especially a starting pitcher, come up and never have to go back down? He's looked very good, though, no question about it. Who've been some of your favorites on the Fisher Cats?
Well, the catcher there, I forget his name, but
is it AJ Jimenez?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, they've done well. I mean, they're not playing well, but they, that doesn't mean sometimes the wins and losses don't really pan out the way they do it. But it's a lot of fun. I mean, if anybody has a chance to catch, go to New Hampshire. That's you can go to a great game for like, you know, take a whole family of four for like $20. So it's really quite cool. So.
But it costs a little bit of money to get to New Hampshire, but you can take a family of four for $20 once you're there. Absolutely.
Okay, well, take care. And you guys do a great job. I love listening to the games. I'm always listening. From the opening show to the end, it's just all three of you do a great job. Keep it up.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Always appreciate hearing from Kevin in Sterling, Massachusetts. Phone lines are open. And we got a good long time to Jay's Talk It Up. I want to hear from people at the cottage. It's May 2-4 weekend, even though May the 24th is until Thursday. If you're out there at the lake with the radio on, by the pool, whatever, let's Blue Jays talk it up. Brian is in Toronto, listening on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Brian, dig Brandon Morrow, huh?
Yes, indeed. But, you know, Brandon Morrow deserves a lot of credit, of course, and pitch a complete game shutout. But you know what? The past few days, I've got to hand it off to Yan Gomes. That guy, you think of someone from Brazil, first time in Major League history, and you might not be certain of what he brings to the table because of the environment that he grew up in. But, man, this guy is impressive. He's got a very smooth swing. He can hit the ball. I mean, that was proven yesterday. And this is just an all-around great guy, great fielding, great everything.
I wouldn't call his swing smooth. I would call it violent, and I like it. But he puts everything he has into every swing he takes. He has never cheated up there. And he has been a lot of fun to watch. 0 for 3 today, so he takes his first 0-for in the major leagues. But in his first at-bat, he lined out hard to center field, right at Andres Torres. And he hit a deep fly ball that almost made it under the track his third time up. So, yeah, I've been very impressed by Yan Gomes, too. And there's nothing not to like about what he's done so far.
I have to agree. And it seems to be the case with every call-up from AAA or AA. I don't know who's running the batting down there, but whoever it is, they're doing a good job.
Well, all the, you know, I don't know if it's about so much about the coaching, though that has a lot to do with it at the developmental level, but it's about the scouting too. And the scouting and development system of the Blue Jays has, since Alex Anthopoulos took over, has just been terrific. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate the call. It is the long weekend. It was a 2-0 win for the Blue Jays over the New York Mets, and we are Blue Jays talking it up. We go to Francis in Fort Erie picking us up on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. That's a good signal you got, Francis.
Well, you know, I was listening to it on the radio, and you know what? You mentioned it already, and I think he is an ace. And the other question, or my only question, is like, who's the better pitcher now? I mean, it's good to have an abundance of riches with great pitchers, but I think he's pitching better than Romero. And if Romero hears this, he's an overly competitive, almost like he, like a pitcher that pitches angry. I mean, he wants to be the ace. So it's almost like a friendly rivalry, I think. I mean, both are pitching pretty good, and you're going to have to say that Morrow's pitching just a little bit better.
Well, you know what? Brandon Morrow had walked four in each of his last two starts, but he didn't walk anybody till the ninth today, and he's only got a total of 10 walks in his last six starts to go with how well he's been pitching. So he's been more than a little bit better than Ricky Romero over the last little while. But and a competition among top two starters, among three, four, five starters, is a wonderful thing to have. If each guy is trying to play, can you top this after the other guy pitches? You know, and I got asked a lot on Twitter today, who's better? Who's better, Romero or Morrow? Well, why can't you just have two great pitchers? And it seems like the Blue Jays have a chance to have five. So I'm thrilled with the way that Brandon Morrow is pitching right now. And so far this season, he has outpitched Romero, but Romero has done a heck of a job too.
Well, if he's listening, hopefully it pushes him even harder. And, you know, with Alvarez tomorrow, he's a confident kid. And, you know, hopefully he thinks he's as good as them. And, you know, confidence goes a long way.
Absolutely, and I guarantee you that Ricky Romero is not listening to this right now.
Okay.
There is no question about that. Thank you, Francis. Appreciate the call. We are going out to the Peg, listening on his Sirius XM radio. Dennis is in Winnipeg. Dennis, thanks for joining us. What'd you think of Brandon Morrow?
I think Brandon Morrow is awesome. I've kind of been a big fan of his for a few years now, but Mike, I'm actually calling you from north of Winnipeg in cottage country.
Nice.
Looking at a May long weekend tradition up here of rain and cold weather at this point.
That's beautiful. So do you live in Winnipeg and cottage north of Winnipeg, or do you live in Toronto and cottage north of Winnipeg?
That sure would be nice.
That would be
a
commitment.
Kind of a nice commute. But
yeah.
I'm in Winnipeg. My college is about an hour north of Winnipeg, just past Grand Beach, which is, I guess, the one place maybe anybody outside of Manitoba would know. But May long weekend is typically either rain or snow up here for some reason. So,
well, so but, at least if it's snow, the mosquitoes aren't around.
That's for sure. Yeah, you know what? That's the one thing about May long weekend is you don't have to deal with the bugs just yet. So.
Perfect.
But booking a tea time on May long weekend is kind of a waste. Anyhow, I wanted to ask you, Mike, what happens when Brett Laurie comes back? What's the move? Who's the odd man out?
There is no move. Brett Laurie was not allowed to be replaced on the roster when he was suspended, so the Blue Jays have been playing with 24 men the last 3 days. So they don't have to send anybody down. Now, they were really cryptic on Thursday when they announced the Lynn move and the Gomes move and Ben Francisco getting a lot of DH time. And we said, well, you know, is Francisco going to keep DHing? Is this a long-term thing? Do you want to take a look at him? What's going to happen? And both Alex Anthopoulos and John Farrell were like, well, let's see what happens on Monday. See if there's a move to be made. See if anything happens. And I think the key thing for the Blue Jays is that they want to get Yan Gomes in the lineup every day. And if they can't get him in the lineup every day here, then they have to do it in Las Vegas. Right now, you know, he's 3-for-8. He's hitting .375. He's hitting the ball hard. He has a walk. He has a couple RBIs. Hit that home run yesterday. He's making it very, very difficult for them to send him down. But I think the original plan was to probably have Gomes here only for the 4 days and then to call up a Mike McDade or a David Cooper to come take over at first base. With Edwin going back to DH, but I don't know if that's such a necessity now. But I do know that they don't want Gomes to be here and not be in the lineup on a regular basis.
Mike, does Gomes play first base?
He can play first. He can. He's primarily a catcher, but he can play first and third too.
Yeah. Okay. I guess where does that leave Vladimir Guerrero? I know. I mean, he hasn't been in a game down there yet, has he?
Yeah, he was in a couple of extended spring games yesterday.
Okay.
Where it leaves Vladimir Guerrero is waiting another couple of weeks to come up to the big leagues. If he comes up that soon, and I was told early June. You know, maybe when the Blue Jays go out on that trip to Chicago June 5th, that might be when they call up Vladimir Guerrero. So there's a two-week gap that you have to fill, and maybe you fill it with Gomes at first base. Historically, it doesn't look like he's got the kind of bat that would carry, though he's doing better, much better than Adam Lind did. But I don't know how comfortable you are with Yan Gomes in the lineup at first or at DH every day for 2 weeks.
Gotcha.
Thank you, and awesome. Continue to enjoy the cottage. Hope the weather turns for you.
So do I. Thanks, Bob.
All right. There's Dennis in Winnipeg. We have lots more calls to get to, and we will get to all of them. And remember, the Blue Jays talk is going to extend till 5 o'clock Eastern time on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and on sportsnet590.ca, where you can find us now if you want as well. Right now, though, let's give a listen to the manager. See what John Farrell had to say in the conclusion of the Blue Jays' 2-0 win over the New York Metropolitans.
Just a beautifully pitched ball game by Brandon today. Two outstanding plays by Jose out in right field, including the throw out, a key play in that ninth inning. We bunched a couple of hits together there to score the two runs, but the story of the day clearly is Brandon. Four pitches for strikes, a lot of strikes all day. Worked ahead in the count, had the ability to step on his fastball a little bit to get a swing and miss when needed, and just an outstanding pitch game on his part.
John, you mentioned that Brandon was throwing four pitches for strikes, and in Anaheim he was mostly relying on the fastball and the slider because obviously they were working very well. Given that he had the four pitches going today, is this arguably his most complete performance as a pitcher?
Well, I mean, when you're looking at two shutouts, they're both outstanding pitch games. This is a more heavily loaded lineup with left-handed hitters. So the use of his curveball and his changeup was, I think, a little bit more important, certainly to the same effectiveness as the game in Anaheim. But he was down in the strike zone. Like I said, just pitched ahead in the count all day, and he could go to any one of those four pitches when needed.
John, can you just talk about his growth as regarding his mound demeanor and just the way he handles himself out there?
You know, Mike, right now he's obviously pitching with a lot of confidence. And this has been a 2+ year progression for him, from converting to from a reliever to a full-time starter, getting through 2010 just from a physical standpoint, last year understanding what makes him most effective. And he set out in spring training to get a more consistent feel for his curveball and his changeup, and you're seeing the whole package come together. And when you've got that assortment of pitches to go to, he should pitch with a lot of confidence.
Jeff Mathis has not gotten a lot of at-bats, but he seems to supply some really key hits.
He does. And when you look at today, you know, he gets a curveball that stays up in the zone a little bit for the first hit of that inning where we'd scored the two runs. And, you know, we have felt all along that there's a good offensive player in there. You know, you look at his track record and you look at the athleticism, and for some reason something's been missing. And we feel like there's the ability to not only drive the baseball but to hit for a better average than maybe he's shown over the past couple of years. But his strength is clearly behind the plate. He has an outstanding feel for the opposition, executing a game plan and using the pitcher's strengths to execute the plan. So he's been a huge addition to us when we acquired him in the offseason.
John, not to put a damper on what was a positive day, but Rajay's three strikeouts, he seemed to be looking exactly what you said he was getting away from yesterday, kind of falling off balance with the strikeouts and the big one-handed swings.
He chased some pitches off the plate away, but, you know, you'd like to think he's going to hit a couple home runs every day or get two hits. That's not the case. They attacked him down and away with assortment of breaking pitches and some fastballs off the plate that he did chase, but you know, those days happen.
John Farrell talking about the Blue Jays 2-0 win over the Mets today, and mostly about Brandon Morrow, though Brendan Kennedy, the Toronto Star, bringing things down a peg with his Rajay Davis questions. But it you know what, it was an appropriate question to ask. Rajay struck out three times today, and like Kennedy said, he was flailing away at those sliders down and away, just like we saw him do all of last year. And hopefully those two home runs yesterday that Rajay hit didn't get him out of the swing that he's had that has earned him more playing time to this point. But Rajay went 0-for-3. Yan Gomes went 0-for-3. J.P. Arencibio and Jose Bautista each went 0-for-4. Eric Thames went 0-for-2 with a walk. The Blue Jays only managed 6 hits today, and 3 of them came in the 5th inning, in which they scored the only 2 runs of the ball game. They beat the New York Mets by a score of 2-0. We'll sneak one call in before the break. Mike is in New Bandon, New Brunswick, listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Mike, what'd you think of Brandon Morrow?
Well, I thought he was great. I mean, a great defensive game, including, if you call pitching defense, and in the field, and to top off the big offensive game yesterday. What more could a fan ask for?
Well, these have been two spectacular Blue Jay efforts back-to-back, no question.
Now, Mike, there's something that I'd like to mention to you. I'm a big radio listener. I actually seem to visualize the game better over the radio. I like Alan and Jerry's professionalism and their background. It really, and I listen to some other games on AM late night radio, but I think that they do much more than most of the other big league announcers. And I think your commentary and color really complement them very well.
Thank you very much.
Now, I got a favor for you.
Okay.
As a big radio listener, I was talking to your interviewer there about it. They've really cut back. The three Rogers stations in the Maritimes have cut back. They hardly put any Blue Jays game, just on the weekends and even some weekends now. So I spoke to the station manager, and he says it's because of the necessity to have a certain amount of local and Canadian broadcasting on. But your slot, where they always broadcast you before on those Rogers stations, has been filled with a five-hour American program every night. It's an American program. So I've been trying to call both Rogers and the Blue Jays to spark a little interest in that, but I haven't been able to reach anybody. Now, your man who answers the phone says he's going to try to get me a number for those guys.
I don't know that that will help. I think that the only thing that you can do, and this applies to anybody else listening along the network, is go to your local stations. They're the ones that have the control, and you know, if they say they need Canadian content, there's not much more Canadian content than me on the radio, and that's what goes on. I count as Canadian content, no question about that. It's your local stations. All the decisions are up to your local stations as to how much they carry, how long they stay with us, and how many games they carry. So make some noise. Call your local radio stations if you want more Blue Jays on the radio. And that's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. And I appreciate the call, and I appreciate the kind words. And I appreciate all the calls. John and John and John and Victor and Josh and John. We will get to you all on the other side as we extend the Blue Jays talk on our flagship station, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.ca. Take a look at the scoreboard as we continue on the Blue Jays Radio Network.
Toronto Blue Jays Baseball.
Hi, this is Sergio Santos, and you're listening to Blue Jays Baseball on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I'm George Russick. The UEFA Champions League final is on the go right now on Sportsnet Ontario. Chelsea and Bayern Munich scoreless here in the second half. The Rangers blanked the Devils 3-0 to take a 2-1 series lead in the Eastern Conference final, while Russia will meet Slovakia for gold at the World Hockey Championships. Back to the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
WestJet makes cheering for the Blue Jays in New York City easier with nonstop flights from Toronto to LaGuardia Airport. It's the closest airport to the stadium. And with 7 nonstop flights every weekday starting June 4th, it's easy to catch the Blue Jays in New York this summer. So grab your glove and your passport and play ball. WestJet is a proud partner of the Toronto Blue Jays. Book your flight or vacation package today at WestJet.com.
Your Ontario Honda dealers want you to get out there and get into Canada's best-selling SUV, the all-new 2012 Honda CR-V with standard eco-assist, rear-view camera, Bluetooth, and more. Lease a 2012 CR-V LX for only $298 per month for 48 months at 3.99% APR, $38.83 down, and zero security deposit. So get out there and get a great deal on an all-new CR-V at your Ontario Honda dealer today. Payment includes freight and fees, taxes, extra OAC. For details, see newspaper on HondaOntario.com.
Want to watch a game live? Get your tickets online at BlueJays.com. This is Blue Jays Baseball, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Welcome back to Rogers Center, where the Blue Jays thumped the New York Mets 2-0. I guess it's not a thumping, but when you thoroughly dominate them as completely as the Blue Jays did today, that's a thumping. Brandon Morrow starts things off by retiring 20 of the first 21 he faces on the way to a complete game 3-hit shutout. And again, 2-0 the final for your Toronto Blue Jays. There's only one other game, what's going on in the major leagues this afternoon, and it involves the New York Mets and the Cincinnati Reds, and it's the Reds that lead it 6-3 in the top of the ninth inning. The difference, a three-run homer by Joey Votto, his seventh of the season. This series, the homestand, the little bit of interleague we get, all conclude tomorrow afternoon. We are on a 12:30 Eastern time for a 107 first pitch. It will be Henderson Alvarez against righty Dylan G as the Blue Jays look to sweep away the Mets and pick up a fifth straight win. Remember, we are extending the Blue Jays talk on our flagship Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet590.ca all the way till 5 o'clock, so keep those calls coming. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership. It may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form, and the accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. For Jerry Howard, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Joe Sicilia, Dylan Brown, I'm Mike Wilner. Good afternoon.
CJCL Toronto, Sportsnet 590. The Fan, the official radio station of the London 2012 Olympic Games. Now, a 2020 update.
I'm George Russick. The Blue Jays shut down the Mets 2-0 at Rogers Center. Sportsnet 590, The Fan's Mike Wilner with the details.
The day after the Blue Jays put 14 runs on the board, they could only muster two. But that was one more than they needed because Brandon Morrow was that good. He went the route on a 3-hit shutout, walking one, striking out eight, throwing only 107 pitches for his fifth win of the season.
All right, thank you, Mike. Dan Girardi scored on the power play early in the third period while Henrik Lundqvist made 36 saves for the Bagel in New York's 3-0 win over New Jersey. The Rangers now lead the Eastern Conference final 2-1. The gold medal game is all set at the World Hockey Championships. Russia will face off against Slovakia tomorrow. The Russians dumped Finland 6-2 in one semi, while the other semi had the Slovaks upending the Czech Republic 3-1. Game 2 of round robin action at the Memorial Cup has the defending champions from St. John's facing off against OHL champion London. You can watch that game live on Sportsnet Ontario or listen to it on Sportsnet590.ca, all getting underway at 7. The UEFA Champions League final on the go right now on Sportsnet Ontario. Bayern Munich and Chelsea still scoreless here in the 60th minute, while Toronto FC will try again for win number 1 in the MLS season on the road versus DC United. Kickoff at 7:30 on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We got some NBA playoff action on the go right now after one quarter in Los Angeles. All Clippers. They have a 33-11 lead on the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs do lead that best of 7, though, 2-0. And it'll be the 137th running of the Preakness Stakes. Derby winner I'll Have Another and race runner-up Bodie Meister are the favorites. More Blue Jays talk next on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
There's a lot of information coming at you. Let us be your big, brilliant, beautiful sports conduit. Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Better now, Escobar, you now lines a base hit up the gap into right center. Coming in to score, Kelly Johnson, go to second, and it gets by. Nobody backs up. You now wasn't watching, and he stays at first base. The Blue Jays 2, the Mets nothing here on back-to-back hits up the gap into right center.
Unel not watching on that play may have cost the Blue Jays because Jose Bautista hit a ground ball into the hole. Next time, he was the next batter, and they were able to force Escobar at second. Had Escobar been at second and no force play on, there was a chance Bautista could have beaten that out and brought Edwin to the plate with a chance to drive in more runs, but didn't matter because they didn't need any more. That made it 2-0, and that was the final score. 2-0, the Blue Jays beat the New York Metropolitans as Brandon Morrow goes the route on a 3-hit shutout. And yes, the Jays caught a huge break in the top of the ninth inning when second base umpire Brian Knight completely missed the call at second base and called Mets DH Mike Baxter out. He had slid in safely with what should have been a double. Yunel Escobar did a swipe tag on the throw from Jose Bautista, and he completely missed him. But Knight called him out anyway. So the Mets go from second and third, one out in the ninth, to runner on third, two out in the ninth. And the next batter, Daniel Murphy, lines out to end the ball game. New York would have had another shot at driving in the tying run with just a base hit. But such is life. Until they institute replay and robot umpires, we're going to have to live with that stuff. And I believe, of course, that they should have robot umpires and instant replay for every disputed play. We have the technology. Why not use it? Works in the Jays' favor this time, and they beat the Mets 2-0. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk. And we are going all the way till 5 o'clock here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Brandon Morrow has been spectacular in his last six starts. He's given up a grand total of 8 earned runs, which is awesome. 8 earned runs in 6 starts on its own is terrific. But if not for an official complaint by the Tampa Bay Rays that got an error changed into a hit, that number would have gone down to just 3 earned runs allowed in his last 6 starts. And Brandon Morrow has been phenomenal. John is in Muskoka. I wanted people to call from the cottage. Beautiful. John, what'd you think of Brandon Morrow?
Oh, Mike, good to talk to you. You wanted some cottagers, and here we are.
Yes.
Came down to the dock whiter than white, and I'm a rock lobster right now.
Oh, jeez.
But let me ask you, in your opinion, was Alex the only one would have possibly been in, you know, without his scouts picking up someone like Morrow for Lee? Because if he did that himself, we've got a real, real bright future, as much as we could use Lee on the closer department, but this guy's amazing. I'm talking about Alex because of what he's done. It's just, it's unbelievable. Is he that smart?
I don't think he does anything on his own. You know what?
Yeah.
He's surrounded himself with a lot of very smart baseball people, and he is a very, very smart guy, no question about it. And he's had some guys that he's targeted and that he's gone after and that he's, you know, really liked and tried really hard to acquire, and Brandon Morrow was very definitely one of them.
Mike, let me ask you about Jesse Litch. How's his recovery coming? And
I have no idea.
Where do you see him?
Haven't heard a word about Jesse
Litch. Haven't heard a thing.
Not a thing. We should ask.
Does he have a spot in the lineup when he becomes healthy, do you think?
Oh, I don't think so.
Not at all, eh?
Well, I mean, who would you?
Well, exactly.
Who would you rather have Jesse Litch then, out of everyone who's on this team?
Yeah, I don't think he can take anybody's spot at this time.
Yeah. No.
Exactly. Well, Mike, I just want to echo the sentiments of some of your other callers. What a tri-actor having you three guys in the booth. As much as we all miss Mr. Cheek, you guys are great, and enjoy this. I barely, rarely watch it on TV. I'm a radio guy from day one, and it's just a great great tri-actor listening to you three. You guys know your baseball, especially you. And speaking of tri-actors, we're getting ready for the Preakness, so we're going to head up to the cottage and watch the Preakness and hope for the Derby winner to repeat. And have a great weekend, Mike. It's the first time I've gotten through to you, and I'm really glad I got through to you.
Thank you very much. Enjoy the cottage. Thanks a lot, and enjoy the race as well. Spencer Forden, who used to cover the Blue Jays for MLB.com, lo those many years ago, used to always give me tips on horses in the Triple Crown. I haven't heard from him yet today, so maybe he'll come through once again, although the tips, probably not even 50-50, but such is life. John is in Toronto. You're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. John, how about this Brandon Morrow fellow?
Oh, it was great to watch. I was at the game. It was fabulous. I was, there were two things that I didn't, that missed call. In fact, one of the interesting parts, of course, was it allowed a guy who had no power to come up to be the third out, as opposed to he would have been forced to, I'm sure they would have forced a, a intentional walk.
Oh, no chance.
No?
You're okay. Not going to put the go-ahead run on base.
Okay, so then the other, there's two, one of my favorite trivia about the Mets, their colors, what their colors are, which is the Giants' colors and the Dodgers' colors put together. But
that's right.
The other
Giants
thing
were black and orange, Dodgers were blue and white.
Right. And
then blue and orange.
And these are very, and that we're winning, that we know, that the Jays are winning these games are really important, because it's the only time you absolutely can steal a game from everybody in the division with no consequence to you when you win, because who cares if what happens in the National League when you're in the race? So all the wins, you know, don't actually count against you even in the wild card. So
yeah, that's true.
You know, and so and this, I think, can be the many of the important games, because this is always what's killed the Jays in the last, well, one of the things in the last
year. Yeah, it certainly hasn't helped in the past.
No, and it's nice to see them actually start. And the only problem, of course, is we have to go see Atlanta in Atlanta. Good luck for that. Anyways, and there's another thing that's amazing. But Morrow was beautiful. I was quite surprised. His 90-plus fastball never looks that fast when you're sitting behind home plate. But I guess, you know, when you're sitting down on the field, it really must bust in on you. And
well, you know what? His mechanics are really solid. He's nice and easy. He's not a max effort guy, but the ball very definitely does explode out of his hand. And we saw a few 97s as late as the eighth inning today. And it is that fast. No question about it. I've said that way too much today. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
I appreciate the call. Continue to have a good long weekend. It is the long weekend edition of the Blue Jays Talk here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Like I said, I want to hear from some cottagers, because I know you're out there and I know you're listening at the lake or at the dock or whatever on your boat. Call us up, 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Steven is in Scarborough. Steven, you're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. What do you think of this this Brandon Morrow fellow?
He's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good.
He's not bad. Yeah. His mechanics are so good, he started to remind me of some guy we sent off to Philadelphia a couple of years ago. His mechanics are just spectacular. And he looks like a guy that's hopefully not going to suffer from any injuries later on in his career.
Why'd you have to say that?
Well, because the mechanics are so good, though.
Well, yeah, who had, in the last 10 years, who's the starting pitcher in Major League Baseball with the most perfect mechanics?
I'd say Roy Halladay.
Mark Pryor.
I guess so. The only reason I'm asking this question, Mike, is because I heard Ken Rosenthal bring it up.
What are you listening to him for?
Oh, no. He just came across the radio.
Oh, all right.
He was talking about, I don't agree with a lot of stuff, but anyway, he was talking about Henderson Alvarez, and he's been lights out impressive. My only concern is his 2 strikes per 9 innings ratio. Don't you think that might catch up to him down the road?
No, because I think it's going to improve down the road.
I hope.
I think there's way too much gnashing of teeth about Henderson Alvarez's lack of strikeouts. I know that all the advanced stats heads say you can't continue to be this good if you don't strike people out. As the more balls you put in play, you have no control over, things are going to happen and bad things are going to happen. And that's true. The more balls that are in play, the greater chance that a ground ball gets through or a fly ball drops and stuff like that. And you don't get the double play that Henderson has been so good at inducing to this point this year. And he'll have some games where he's going to have trouble because there are too many balls in play. But if that happens every once in a while, first of all, that's not so bad. And two, there's a guy named Tom Glavine who's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Very true.
In his first year, struck out 3.6 hitters per 9 innings. In his second year, struck out 3.9 hitters per 9 innings. And in his third year, struck out 4.4 hitters per 9 innings. You know, it's not that you can't be successful with a lot of strikeouts, but with Alvarez's stuff, too. You know, he's got... Tom Glavine didn't have a 97-mile-an-hour fastball like Henderson Alvarez does.
No.
And Alvarez... I think eventually is going to learn how to put people away.
And if I can ask one more question.
Yeah.
We all know the Jays have so many arms coming up through the system, and their pitching rotation is working itself out. With Sean Markham, with the injuries like Jesse Litch and isn't it about time to just turn the page on some of the injured guys and say, you know, we've given you enough time, but the injuries just never seem to go away?
Why would you do that, though? Why would you turn your back on an asset?
Well, I'm thinking about, not Markham, I'm thinking about...
McGowan.
Dustin McGowan. They've put so much into him, and he has not proven yet that he can stay healthy.
Right.
And they have so many guys coming up through the system where McGowan's really not even going to miss him.
Except that he could wind up being really, really good still. And you control him for the next 3 years for $3.5 million. Why would you turn, why not do everything you can to get him?
I guess.
The only point in time, I think, when you should cut bait on somebody is if he's proven that he can't do the job, or he's getting to the point where he's going to be too expensive to keep looking at, or he's going to take a roster spot away from someone who's really deserving. And I don't think any of those things apply yet to Dustin McGowan.
Great problem to have if you're a Jays fan. And it's been a very long time since we've had these problems of where you're going to put guys.
It is true. It is
great
true.
Great future.
Thank you.
No problem.
Appreciate the call. I'm surprised about the Alvarez question just because, I mean, he hasn't pitched in a few days, but I'm sure it'll come up a lot tomorrow. And I'll talk to Alan Ashby about it, and Alan Ashby will get very angry when I suggest to him that Henderson Alvarez's low strikeout rate is going to catch up to him. So you might want to tune in for that in the pregame show tomorrow. Somebody remind me on Twitter at around 12:30 to ask Alan that question, but you'll enjoy his reaction. He doesn't like that, and I think he's absolutely right. Blue Jays beat the Mets 2-0. This is the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. We go to Victor in tiny town, Midland, Ontario. Victor, that's not exactly cottage country, is it?
Yes, it is.
All right, good.
There's about 1,000 cottages around here.
Wow.
It was a fabulous afternoon, but I'm sort of up here. I'm finished with the room to coincide with the end of the game, and it went for 2 hours. I'm a bit perturbed.
Victor, stop moving, because your cell is breaking up like crazy. So find a spot that's a good spot and stay there. You were upset that the game was over in 2 hours and 12 minutes? You have not found a good cell spot. I'm going to put you on hold, Victor. I don't know if you can hear me or not, but we'll put you on hold. We'll let you talk to Joe Sicilia, and Joe will walk you through until you find a good spot where we can actually have a conversation. So throw Victor on hold, and we'll talk to Mark and Aurelia. The cottagers are coming out of the cottage work, the woodwork. It's too on the nose, though, I think. Mark and Aurelia on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk. What'd you think of Brandon Morrow?
I was completely impressed.
How could you not be, really? I asked the question, but I know what everybody's going to say anyway.
Yeah, just this year, he just hasn't disappointed. He just looks like a complete pro.
Yep.
One question. Well, first of all, Mike, huge fan of Jay's Talk. You always do a great job.
Thank you.
And my call is basically in regards to Colby Rasmus.
Sure.
My opinion is, ever since we got him, he's been nothing short of a disappointment.
Offensively.
Maybe defensively, but I just don't find that he plays with any... I find he plays uninspired baseball. I don't think he's...
Oh, please don't start with
really
that.
...really emotional. I'm just wondering...
Do you think Kelly Johnson plays with no emotion?
At least he produces.
Right. See, that's the thing. You don't care what they look like out there if they're getting the job done, right?
But Colby doesn't even look discouraged at his failures.
Did Vernon Wells ever look discouraged at his failures?
I think more so, actually.
The last couple of years when he was when the failures were becoming far more prominent.
But what do you think the Jays should do with him?
I think they should put him in center field and play him every day, because I think he is going to become a very, very good offensive player, and he already is the best defensive center fielder they've had since Devon White and maybe ever.
I hope you're right.
And that's what you do. He's 25 years old. It doesn't matter what the look on his face is. It really doesn't. It doesn't matter whether you think he looks discouraged when he gets out or whether you think he looks excited when he makes a big play. It doesn't matter how often he smiles. None of that has to do with anything that goes on the field. The talent, I think, will come out. It certainly hasn't yet from an offensive perspective. But I do think the talent will come out. They've sat him the last couple of games. He's done some extra work in the cage. They're trying to get him right. But the one thing that I'm sorry, that sets me off is when people complain about a look of intensity or the absence of that look. I think so much athletic intensity, that the visual intensity is fake, is a show for the fans. And none of it matters at all. If you can get the job done, you can get the job done. Just like you said about Kelly Johnson, right? I mean, nobody liked Kelly Johnson last year. Everybody loves Kelly Johnson this year. His demeanor on the field has not changed one iota. But he is producing. As, you know, if you looked at his track record, you could pretty easily have surmised that he would. And he's doing a great job. And Colby Rasmus eventually will get to that place. And he was there a little bit. I mean, people were starting to not hate Colby Rasmus around the middle of April. But he's having his issues now. And he is not producing. But I'll take that glove. And I'll hit him ninth. And live with it until the bat starts to come around. More of your phone calls coming. We love taking them. Cottagey weekend here, the long weekend, May 2-4. And I want to hear from more cottagers as we go on all the way to 5 o'clock Eastern Time here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. The Blue Jays took down the New York Mets. They have won 4 in a row and are looking for the sweep tomorrow with Henderson Alvarez on the mound after Brandon Morrow throws his second 3-hit shutout of the season. It is the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Now, a 2020 update on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
I'm George Russick. Brandon Morrow was dealing for the Blue Jays at Rogers Center.
Here's the 0-2 pitch. Got him swinging. Breaking ball. Ball in the dirt. Mathis will dig it out and fire on down to Encarnacion to record the out. That's 7 strikeouts for Brandon Morrow.
One of 8 Ks for Brandon Morrow, who gave up just 3 hits in tossing. His second complete game shutout of the season as the Blue Jays beat the New York Mets 2-0. Kelly Johnson and Yunel Escobar drove in the runs for Toronto, who have won 4 in a row. We got the UEFA Champions League final on the go right now on Sportsnet Ontario. Chelsea and Bayern Munich scoreless here in the 79th minute. Henrik Lundqvist made 36 saves. Dan Girardi scored the winner early in the third period on the power play as the Rangers beat the Devils in New Jersey 3-0 in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference Final. New York now leads that best of 7, 2-1. Russia got past Finland 6-2 in semifinal action at the World Hockey Championships. They'll be joined in the gold medal game by Slovakia, who got by the Czech Republic 3-1. Game 2 of round robin action at the Memorial Cup tonight has the defending champs from St. John face OHL champion London. You can watch the game live on Sportsnet Ontario or listen to it on Sportsnet590.ca getting underway at 7. Toronto FC will look to avoid an 0-9 start to their Major League Soccer season this evening in D.C. versus D.C. United. Kickoff at 7:30 right here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We got some NBA playoff action on the go right now from Los Angeles Clippers with a 44-26 lead on the San Antonio Spurs. 5:41 to go here before halftime. San Antonio does lead that series 2-0. And the 137th edition of the Preakness Stakes goes down tonight from Pimlico. Kentucky Derby winner I'll Have Another and race runner-up Bodie Meister are the favorites. More Blue Jays talk next on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Morrow wins. And the 2-2 fastball, swing and a miss. He struck him out at 94 miles an hour. Next pitch got him swinging. Second strikeout now for Brandon Morrow as he's retired 7 in a row to start the game.
Short.
How about that changeup? Morrow slide step again. The 2-2 got him looking right on the outside black. 93 miles an hour with the heat. So Nickias is gone. That's 3 strikeouts for Morrow. Here's a swing and a miss at the plate. Pitch in the dirt. Held right there by Mathis. He'll apply the tag in the second out here in the inning. And now 4 strikeouts for Morrow.
Right in the strike 2 pitch.
Swing and a miss on a slider. He struck him out. Ball in the dirt taken by Mathis. Throw down to first. Edwin steps on the bag. The inning is over.
Some of the 8 strikeouts for Brandon Morrow this afternoon as the Blue Jays take down the New York Mets 2-0. It's Morrow's second 3-hit shutout in his last 4 starts. He has been just amazing so far this season, really coming into his own and you know, into the acedom that so many saw for him when the Blue Jays made that deal with the Seattle Mariners 3 years ago. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Blue Jays Talk on a long weekend. And the Blue Jays winning their fourth straight today. And we want to hear from you. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Got the Cottagers out there, and we want you on the air. Let's go to St. Mary's. We know he lives there. Yaz is a frequent caller to the program, and I know you're not at a cottage, but Yaz, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
But I'm on a farm. I am on a farm.
You are.
So there's two things. First thing is, I think in no other time in Toronto's history have we had the ability of three starters to actually pitch no-nos very, very soon, and two of them could pitch perfect games.
What about Steve Clancy and Leal?
Okay, there's two, but now we have three. We have three. We have three potential with Ricky Romero. If he can keep the walks down, he can pitch a no-no. We've got Morrow, who can pitch a no-no and a perfect game, and we've got Alvarez, who can pitch a no-no and a perfect game.
You know, I have to tear that apart, right, Yaz?
No.
I mean, Joe Cowley threw a no-hitter. Matt Young threw a no-hitter. Philip Umber threw a perfect game. You don't have to be good to pitch a no-hitter or a perfect game.
But our guys are. And they've got a stellar defense.
Well, don't you remember, I think it was 3 years ago, I want to say 3 years ago, it may have been 4 years ago, that the Blue Jays starters took a no-hitter into the sixth inning like 14 times in season?
Yes.
That was Markham, Lich, Halliday, and those guys?
Oh, guys who don't play for us anymore.
That's right.
Now we got the new crop.
And the new crop's really good. There's no question that they're really good.
They're stunning to watch. Now, what I really wanted to talk to you about was Escobar. And Escobar reminds me of the first couple of years of Robinson Cano, where this is a gifted player at his position, but he has major brain farts during an inning. And his defensive play at some times, it leaves me mystified as to what he does, how he throws the ball to first base, how he rushes himself, how he definitely seems to be scared of guys barreling down at second base on him.
Well, he does change his lanes, it's true. Unnecessarily, it seems, more than every once in a while. But when you say the first couple of years of Robinson Cano,
with the Yankees, where?
Yeah, but Escobar's going to be 30 this year. He's not a young player anymore. I don't think this is going to change.
So they're going to sit him more.
I think this is something that we're going to have to live with, because there's a lot of good that comes with Yonel Escobar too.
Oh, totally. I totally agree with that. But there are times when you see his defensive plays and you think, the guy was just not in that at bat, or he was thinking about something else.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you. But again, I think that's just that's never going to change. That's something that you got to live with. And the good outweighs the bad for me, for you now, Escobar. Let's go more cottage. Paul is in Muskoka. You're on the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. How about that Brandon Morrow fellow?
He's pretty good, Mike. He is pretty good. Listen, I want to say I'm a big Mike Wilner fan. My wife and I listen to almost every Blue Jays talk, and so keep up the good work there.
Thank you.
Listen, I want to talk about Yan Gomes and Frank and Ben Francisco.
Yeah.
Well, a Freudian slip there on the Frank Francisco. Why? What would be the rationale to? We know that Francisco is, 250 hitter. Maybe some average power, maybe a little bit less. What do we get by having him DH? If indeed that's the scenario that the Blue Jays go with. Have Edwin play first and Francisco DH.
What they get, I think, is a look at Ben Francisco. And Francisco is a guy who was drafted by the Indians when John Farrell was their farm director. So Farrell's a fan. He likes the power that he thinks Francisco has, that he's seen in the past from him, and that he thinks they can get out of him in the future. And it's true. His major league numbers are nothing at all to write home about. But I think that's why they brought him over, because Farrell likes him, because Alex saw something in him that he likes, and they're going to give him the opportunity here to show them something. And
I know what you're saying.
Right, what it comes down to is he's not going to do worse than Adam Lind was doing.
He's not going to be worse than Adam Lind. It's hard to be worse than Adam Lind in this year's time, to be honest. But don't you think that Yan Gomes has potential to be better to play, have him play first and have Edwin continue DH?
But Yan Gomes has put up the same OPS in the minor leagues that Ben Francisco's put up in the major leagues. And so...
He has hit for better average, at least in spring and in his very, very, very limited Pacific Coast League numbers. But he does offer, I think, a little bit... Perhaps he offers just a little bit more excitement to a Jays fan in terms of future potential there.
Well, that's the thing, right? I mean, you're right. He offers more excitement because Blue Jays fans are really excited about Yan Gomes right now and because he's been doing quite well in the last couple of... The three games that he's been here, and he had a good spring. But that's not how you evaluate. You don't evaluate based on who excites the fans more.
I'm a season ticket holder, so I do like to be excited. But I am excited about the team, that's for sure. One other small point. Do you think that Rajan, I know he had a bad game today, but whatever. When he's in there, he's such a spark plug. And it sure would be nice to see him continue getting some more looks out there in left field. I know... Thames is another young guy who's has some potential, but I'll tell you, when Rajai gets on those base pads, it's something fun to see.
He is something fun to see, which is why I was really in love with the idea of having him be the designated pinch runner late in games, but that didn't seem to work out because Eric Thames was having to be replaced defensively, and then things kind of, when they wound up getting turned around, Rajay's already in, so you can't use him to run. If he keeps taking swings like he did today, I don't want to see him in the lineup against right-handed pitching, but he had been swinging well, and if today was just a blip and he gets out of it instead of really getting back into a ton of bad habits, then I think we're going to see him play a lot more for sure.
We just got to tell him that he's not a home run, so he's going to keep that head down in that batter's box the line drive.
Just not chase those sliders down and away. He's looking very Joe Carter-esque today. Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. It is a lovely long weekend in May, and it's lovely for the Toronto Blue Jays, and the roof is just about finished closing, and it was beautiful, and the sun, and all the nice, and it's all gone. But we're going to take your phone calls all the way till 5 o'clock here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. Jay is in Parry Sound, cottaging it up. Jay, what'd you think of the brand tomorrow?
I'm definitely loving it. I'm up here at the girlfriend's place, or the girlfriend's parents' place, and big shout out to them for having me up here. I'm loving the starting staff at the beginning of the year. Farrell basically came out and said, I need quality starts for my five starters, and if we do that, we'll be in the playoffs. I may be wrong, but I would think that we're probably in the top two or three of quality starts for our starters in the American League. And at this point in the season, the season's only up maybe four games above 500. It's a little concerning with the offense, though. So I'm just wondering, love what Anthopoulos has done, but what do you think is in store for trades or call-ups to maybe address that?
I don't think anything is right now. It's very difficult to make trades in May. Especially the kind of trades you're looking at. I mean, you might get a little tweak deal here and there, or somebody who's out of options and all of a sudden is healthy and back, and like a Fred Lewis a couple of years ago. Those kinds of guys get moved at this point in time in the season. But as far as change to the offense, I think that the keys are trying to get Adam Lind right down in Vegas, because if you can do that, then that's a huge boost for you. Seeing what you've got in Vladimir Guerrero, and he may be up here within the next two and a half weeks to help there. And other than that, I don't think you really need anything. You see that J.P. Arencibias started to come around. Colby Rasmus, I believe, will be able to come around and work his way out of this. And left field may become an issue, but Eric Thames is doing okay, not great. Rajay Davis is okay there. It's a reasonable platoon, and you may have Travis Snyder back, but not for a couple of months.
Do you think they would at any point see that the time is coming? Maybe not again in May, but when you look at end of June, if we're kind of in the same position, or maybe mid-July, do they think that maybe this is the year where with the Yankees kind of in the spot that they're at, where Boston is, with hoping that Baltimore can't continue to do this, is this kind of the year where maybe we trade some of that young future that we might have in our minor leagues to try and acquire a bat for a team that's going to be out of it by that point?
It depends. It depends on what you're going to have to give up and what you're getting back. The Blue Jays are not going to trade a big part of their future for a very, very short-term fix. They'll try to, they'll try to get those short-term fixes if the scenario that you're talking about plays out in mid-July, but not at the expense of one of their top young prospects. And they shouldn't have to give up one of their top young prospects anyway. Although, with the extra wild card spot, it's definitely going to be a seller's market at the trade deadline. But Alex Anthopoulos and Paul Beeston are firmly committed to the long term, and they don't want a one-year flash at the expense of the next five. And so the deal is to make this team great and to make it great for a long, long time, not just to take a one-year run because you see that a window's open. So I do think that if this keeps up, you know, as we speak right now, the Blue Jays are in the final playoff spot in the American League by a game and a half over the New York Yankees, who lost this afternoon. They're five games over 500. They have the fifth best record. Actually, better than the Indians. They have the fourth best record in the American League right now. So if they stay along these lines, they will try to make trades to improve the deadline, but not at the expense of a lot of their long-term depth.
All right. Well, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Appreciate the call, Jay. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. I know you're listening at the cottage. I want to hear from you. Blue Jays beat the Mets 2-0 behind a great performance from Brandon Morrow. Tom is in Waterloo. You're on the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, what'd you think of Brandon today?
Loved it. In fact, I've loved the whole pitching staff for the last four or five games. One run a game, you know, except for that one inning. I think it's just a beautiful job they've done with that staff. I got a question for you, though, on the amount of innings do you think Hutch will get, and maybe even Alvarez and Drabek. Do you think they're going to push them?
Well, what do you mean by push?
Well, I know they cut Morrow off and stuff like that. They have maximums on him.
Yeah, but the reason that they cut Morrow's innings was because he had been kind of moved around from rotation to bullpen, bullpen to rotation, so he hadn't had a ton of innings of work. Last year, Henderson Alvarez threw 160 innings, almost.
Oh, okay.
160 innings. So this year I think they'd be comfortable with him throwing 190, which may mean you might have to pull him back late if you want to have him in the playoffs, but I think they'd be comfortable with 190, maybe 200 innings from Alvarez. For
140 innings short, maybe 120. But anyway, it's just they're doing a great job. It's just been really fun to watch, and they're in every game. And hey, if you got the pitching, you'll find a run somewhere, won't you?
Yeah. If you only need one, for sure.
Hey.
And they only needed one today. Absolutely.
It's positive. Looking good.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Appreciate the call. We're going to go to Kevin in St. Catharines. Kevin, you're on the Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Dig Brandon Morrow.
Love him. And my wife and I, we're from Niagara. We got into the game today. We're just driving home. But first of all, I want to say I'm a longtime listener and a big fan of yours.
Thank you.
And, I love the stuff for Morrow today. I'd like to see Rajai a little bit more in the lineup. I know I heard your comments a couple of callers ago. I think he's just going through a bit of a funk, but has Colby Rasmus ever played left field?
Why would you put Rasmus in left field?
Well, the reason I'm asking is because Rajai seems to have a bit of a niche in center, and we have some issues in left field, so
No, you put the better defender in the more important position. If you want both Davis and Rasmus in the lineup, Rasmus plays center because he's a better center fielder.
Okay, so Rajai would go to left for sure?
Yes.
Okay. Anyways, loved the game today, and, we got a little bit of a break on that second base play by Bautista, but whatever.
A little bit, yeah.
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 Well, thanks very much, Mike.
All right, thank you. Appreciate the call. And for the last caller who wanted to know about quality starts, the Blue Jays are second in the American League right now in quality starts. They have 25 in their 41 games. I think quality starts a bit of a BS stat. It doesn't really mean anything. Six innings, three earned runs or less. So if you've given up three runs through seven innings and you give up a run in the eighth, that's not a quality start. Whereas if you would have gotten yanked the inning before, it would have been. So I don't really pay any attention to that sort of thing. But if you do, the Blue Jays are second in the American League, 25 quality starts in their 41 games. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell, long distance 1-888-666-0590. Chris is in Lindsay. Welcome to the Blue Jays Talk on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Thank you very much. I just had a question about Yunel Escobar.
Yeah.
I am not infatuated with his play. Your previous caller, Yaz, he had mentioned about how he makes these mental mistakes in the field. And I'm wondering if the upside of Hechevarria in AAA might be something that might push him, especially having Vizquel sitting on the bench, talking to him, and learning from his experiences.
No, it won't, because Yunel Escobar is an elite-level offensive shortstop. And Adani Echevarria hasn't even proven yet that he can hit at the professional level, let alone be an elite-level offensive performer. Escobar, like I said to that other caller, to Yaz, Escobar's going to have his brain cramps. But he is also a great offensive player as a shortstop, and he is a very, very good defensive shortstop. He's among the best. And yeah, there are brain cramps. There are times when he doesn't pay attention. And they're infuriating. And I don't blame you for not liking it. They're infuriating, period.
Yes.
But in the overall, the positive stuff he provides outweighs the negative by so much. So much that you're very happy to keep him around.
All right. I was wondering also, McGowan, what's transpired?
He's just in the very, very early stages of the throwing program. It was actually supposed to start a couple of days ago, but they started him a little bit earlier. As far as I know, though, he's still throwing off a flat ground. He hasn't gotten up on a mound yet, let alone get into a game. So if you want to kind of project it out, look at this as McGowan's first week of spring training. That this is the week you report and you get your throwing in and the games don't start for another week yet. So we're looking at Canada Day at the earliest, I would think. Maybe not quite the, maybe a little bit, but they're going to be especially conservative with him. I would say we're looking at Canada Day at the earliest for Dustin McGowan. Thank you for the call. Appreciate the calls, and we will have more of them. One more segment of the Blue Jays Talk. George Russick is coming up with a sports update. He will tell you about what's going on with sports, including this game, and I'm not going to ruin it for you. I'll let Russick tell you, and then we'll take more of your phone calls as the Blue Jays Talk continues on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Now, a 2020 update on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
I'm George Russick. Brandon Morrow pitched his second shutout in four starts to lead the Blue Jays over the Mets 2-0 at Rogers Center. The righty allowed three hits while striking out nine and walking only one batter. Kelly Johnson and Yunel Escobar drove in the runs in Toronto's fourth straight victory. What drama right now on Sportsnet Ontario in the UEFA Champions League final. Thomas Muller's goal in the 83rd minute gave Bayern Munich a 1-0 lead en route to the title until this.
Matter to take. In goes Drogba! Equaliser! Didier Drogba makes it 1-1! We have got drama! Didier Drogba takes us into extra time, and Chelsea's dream of a Champions League title remains intact.
Yes, Didier Drogba's powerful header off a corner in the 88th minute tied this puppy up at ones, as we're about to kick it off in extra time here, obviously tied up at ones on Sportsnet Ontario. Henrik Lundqvist made 36 saves. Dan Girardi scored the winner early on the power play in the third period as the Rangers blanked the Devils 3-0 to take a 2-1 lead in the Eastern Conference final. It'll be Slovakia and Russia for gold at the World Hockey Championships. The Russians beat the Finns 6-2, while in the other semi, Slovakia got by the Czech Republic 3-1. We got the game two of the round robin on the go, well, not on the go, but tonight from the Memorial Cup as the defending champs from St. John's face off against London. You can watch the game live on Sportsnet Ontario or catch it on Sportsnet590.ca getting underway at 7. Toronto FC will look to avoid an 0-9 start to their MLS season this evening on the road versus DC United. Kickoff at 7:30 live right here on Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And we got some NBA playoff action on the go right now. They're at the half in Los Angeles. Clippers with a 53-43 lead on the San Antonio Spurs. The Spurs do lead this series, though, 2-0. More Blue Jays talk next on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
The 3-1 pitch, fastball hit right to short, caught by Escobar. The Blue Jays shut out the Mets 2-0.
Brandon Morrow with his second three-hit shutout in his last four starts. And the Blue Jays blanked the Mets 2-0. Escobar making the play on that line drive after a batter after Escobar, quote-unquote, tagged Mike Baxter sliding into second base. A huge break for the Blue Jays on a terrible call by second base umpire Brian Knight. Escobar never touched him. Knight was not in a position to see whether he did or didn't and made the out call, denying the Mets an opportunity to have runners at second and third and one out in a 2-0 game in the ninth inning. And the Blue Jays will take it. Thank you very much. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. One more segment of the Blue Jays talk, and we asked for cottagers, and you guys have filled the lines up, and I appreciate it a lot.
Hello?
Matt is in Wasega. Matt, a little anxious to get on the air here. Welcome to the Blue Jays talk.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, just actually on my way to Wasega. I'm just scooting up the highway, so I thought I'd give a ring. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to watch the game because I was in my car.
Well, the good thing you got to listen to it.
Yeah, I didn't catch it until the end because I thought it was a 4 o'clock start, and well, apparently it wasn't. But
there are no more 4 o'clock starts at home this year.
Oh, well, I'll keep that in mind. Yeah. So I'll definitely be able to tune in next time.
Next week is 3 o'clock, though.
Sorry?
Next week is 3 o'clock on Saturday there in Texas.
Oh, perfect. And I'm definitely tuning in for that.
Great.
But the only thing I was wondering, because I was hearing somebody say something about Alvarez earlier. And, I mean, I think the man has got the stuff to be a strikeout pitcher. Like, that sinker is disgusting. And personally, I think it's one of the best sinkers in the major leagues right now. Just the way it drops down and this velocity he can get it up to is just, you know, it's ridiculous. But, you know, he may get a couple home runs hit on him here and there just because of the fact that he is, you know, a fastball pitcher. He's got that 97-mile-an-hour fastball, and he can lose control of it from here and there. But at the same point is, I do think he has the stuff to be a fastball or be a strikeout pitcher once he gets a little more control in regards to, his pitches, right?
Well, and what I've found, and I agree with you, he's got great stuff. I mean, he throws 97, and he's got a killer changeup, and the slider is nice. What I've found, and I saw this especially in Minnesota with Joe Mauer and with Josh Willingham running up his pitch count a couple of times, is that he has trouble putting guys away.
Yeah.
And he's 22. I think that's going to change over time, and he'll be able to put these people away on a regular basis, the guys who are giving him trouble that he's not getting the quick ground balls on, and the strikeouts will come up. He's never going to be a guy, I don't think, who strikes out 10 batters every 9 innings, but he could.
Yeah.
I could see him getting a 6.5-7.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I think. I'm thinking, you know, with age, he's going to get better. He's going to learn how to, you know, get control of those pitches, and he's going to start striking more people out. So whoever says they're worried about, you know, the non-strikeouts and whatnot, I think that's a load of crap because I think this guy's, you know, has the stuff to be, you know, a number one, number two pitcher. The other note I was saying, somebody was mentioning Rasmus earlier, and you know what? I think all, like, stuff people talk about him saying, oh, you know, he doesn't have any motion, he doesn't have any this, he doesn't look like he's driven. I disagree. He's a fantastic all-around player. He's definitely one of the best center fielders we've had in years, if not ever. The only one little problem that I have with him is him getting out of the batter's box. The man does not run when he hits, like, you know, he'll hit one up the third baseline and, you know, it will go to the guy. But, I mean, he's fast. The man has speed. So I don't understand why he doesn't get out of the batter box. Like, he ran out of the box like Rajay Davis. I guarantee he'd get another, you know, he'd get a few more hits on there, and his batting average would start to go up. You know, but that's my only main problem with Rasmus.
And yeah, I don't think that. I think that's an illusion. I honestly do. Because you see Rasmus, you see him on a routine ground ball, right? And it doesn't look like he's running hard. And he gets thrown out by half a step. So he's chewing up ground on his way down the first baseline. And some guys don't look like they're, you know, some guys don't look like they're running hard, but they're really, really moving. And I think that's the case with him.
I agree, like, most of the time, you know, but it's the same thing. I think if he just put a little extra oomph in there, that half step would turn into a half step over the bag, and, you know, he'd get that hit, right?
I don't think he's that fast.
That's the only thing I personally see. But either way, you know, I think he's a great player, and he was a great pickup for the Jays. I like him. You know, emotionless, emotions, whatever. It doesn't matter to me. He's a great player. The other thing I was wondering, how did Jansen do today?
He didn't. Morrow threw a complete game.
Oh, he did?
Yes.
Okay. I thought I heard somebody said they pulled him at the end of the ninth.
No. End of the ninth when the game was over, they pulled him.
That makes sense. Right. Sorry, I'm really hot in my car and I'm sweating like crazy. So
all right, so concentrate on the road then, Matt. Thank you for your call. We appreciate it, and enjoy the cottage this weekend. Colby Rasmus, I understand, is the new target of fans' discontent. After he was already the target of fans' discontent last year and in the spring. But just let me remind you, and I know this is probably not going to help, but allow me to remind you what you thought of Brandon Morrow when the Blue Jays first got him, those first 10 starts of 2010 when he was pretty terrible, what you first thought of Kelly Johnson when the Blue Jays got him, what you first thought of who else? There's another one. Yunel Escobar, when the Blue Jays traded for him. It takes time. Give him time. Give him time, he'll be fine. Another cottager, Mitch, is on Lake Simcoe. Are you actually on Lake Simcoe right now?
Soon, an exit away.
All right, nice.
Question and a comment and a question. I was at the game today, and
wait a minute. You were at the game, and you're already almost at the lake. How long have? Well, I guess we've been on the air an hour and a half now, huh?
Yeah, we got this system. When there's one out in the ninth, and I've got a feeling that Cordero isn't coming in the game, we start to leave.
All right.
So. He usually by the first or second inning, we could tell if Morrow's got his good stuff. And it was funny today because he's been a Jekyll Hyde or a Hyde Hyde or whoever was the good guy, because he's had two good sides of him. And
Jekyll
today,
was the good guy.
Yeah, today he was like, he didn't have that crazy high pitch count strikeout guys, but he was still getting them on low pitch counts and mixing in, some ground ball out. So hopefully this is the guy that we'll see. And he's somewhere in the middle of that power pitcher who's only going to last six innings, and we're going to have to leave it up to the bullpen. And I thought that was fantastic, and it was great to see. Here's my question. I think
he only got six ground ball outs today, by the way. But that's all right. I mean, that's okay. It's better than he used to do.
Yeah, I think Sean Markham is a free agent after this season.
I believe you are correct.
And he buddy-buddies with Romero and Morrow. They were always kidding around on the bench when they were all kind of sitting together. And,
I don't know how true that is.
Well, but it looks continue. Like it, but you never know.
Right.
Regardless, is it a totally crazy thing to think that Sean Markham may be the type of a guy that the Blue Jays may want to bring back? What kind of value is he going to be looking at? And I know we've got a lot of young pitching talent coming up, but I don't know. I just was looking at the available free agents the other day, and I think he came up as one of them. And I'm like, that was when the whole Cole Hamels thing started.
Right.
I'm like, who else is available? I'm like, Sean Markham. Your thoughts?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think, first of all, it's really, really tough to get value out of a starting pitcher who's a free agent. And we know how much Alex Anthopoulos likes his value. And rightly so, I think. And I think now, you know, Romero, Morrow, Alvarez, Drabek, Hutchison, McGowan if he gets healthy in another year, Jenkins, McGuire. Markham's probably my fourth starter. Maybe my fifth.
I agree.
The amount of money that you're going to have to pay him, no thanks.
Well, what's wrong with having a 1-2-3-3-3?
Nothing. But for the money, you know what?
Yeah. What do you think he'll get? You think he's a
$6 million-a-year
guy if he has a decent season?
How much?
I'm asking if you think he's like a $6 to $8 million-a-year guy.
If he has another good season, absolutely. And if there's no playoff meltdown or September meltdown like there was last year, I think he's definitely, he gets that kind of money on the open market, and the Blue Jays are not going to be interested in that for their fifth starter. Paul is in Ottawa listening on Sportsnet590.ca. Bless you, Tom Young. Paul, welcome to the Blue Jays Talk. What'd you think of Brandon Morrow?
Hey, Mike, if he keeps tying it together like this for 30 starts, I think we're talking Cy Young in a year or two.
Okay, but he was almost perfect today. I mean, you can't expect this every time.
No. But, I mean, if you look back at the last four starts, I mean, if you have a guy who's going
look back
there,
at the last six.
Yeah, exactly. If he's only putting up one sort of iffy start every six starts, then that's someone you're talking about come September for that award.
Agreed.
Yeah. So just looking at my question for you. Why is everyone so ready to trade away all these kids? I mean, what do they think we're going to get out of it? How many sellers are going to be around at the deadline this year with that extra playoff spot around?
Well, I still think there will be enough, and there will be enough that there will be some good players available at the deadline. But I think people get excited, and you know, they get excited. They want to make trades. They want to win, and they want to win now. They've been waiting for a long time, and that's why everyone's talking about trading the farm. The key thing, though, Paul, is that Alex Anthopoulos is not talking about trading the farm, and he's the only one who matters.
Exactly. Yeah, well, I think you got it exactly right with the last caller. I was saying with the comment about value. I mean, if you look around the diamond of what we've got right now, the only place where I really see a bit of a sinkhole is first base. And looking around the majors, I just don't see a lot of ready-made first base options that are going to be available at the deadline.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, you never know how things are going to shake out, right? So you never know, but it is definitely something that they can address. But they don't need to address first base if they're looking for a deadline deal, because if we're still in July and Adam Lind hasn't come around and Vladimir Guerrero is not having a great start and starting to look his age and hit like he did last year, just go out and find a DH. Edwin can handle first. No problem. I have no issue with Edwin Encarnacion at first base for the rest of the year. And there's the other guy, by the way, who I should have brought up when we're talking about Kelly Johnson and Yunel Escobar and Brandon Morrow and all these guys that most Blue Jays fans just couldn't stand when they got here. If you feel that way about Colby Rasmus now, chances are you felt that way about those other guys at some point in time, and it's worth remembering that. Thank you for all the phone calls. We will do this again tomorrow when the Blue Jays wrap up this homestand and the series. It'll be Henderson Alvarez against Dylan G. Join us at 12:30 for a 107 first pitch. Thanks to all of you for calling. Thanks to Joseph Chilia, Dylan Brown, and, of course, Tom Young. We'll see you tomorrow.